Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Because if you can do something to be saved, then you're going to boast in it. But if you are saved by grace, then we trust in what Christ has done for us. So in our text, we learn one more way that we fulfill the law without keeping the law.
Did you know as Christians we can do just that? Fulfill the law without keeping the law. When we see a brother or sister in the body of Christ struggling, we should come alongside and help and encourage. In essence, bear one another's burdens. That's how we fulfill the law. With more on lifting each other up out of Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we want to thank you for your word. It's how we know how we are to live. It's how we're to know that if your spirit moves within us in order for us to do something, does it agree with what your word says? Your word is the means by which we live for you. It is the authority that we have in our lives, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we can take time to study it. We want to know it. We want to learn it. We want to be very literate in the scriptures because they are life and they make us like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and everything that we do prosper because we know what's in your word. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today in our text, we learn about the importance of helping each other in our walk with Christ, that we are a part of the body of Christ. And when one part hurts, we all feel it. The Bible tells us that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and that we are one body with many members. We are one that have many members. And in that passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it compares it to our body. So that I am one body, but I have ears, I have eyes, I have hands, I have feet. And if my hand is hurt, I don't ignore my hand. I don't say, well, you're not my mind, so I don't care. It's not my foot, so I can still walk around, so I don't care. No, when I injure my hand, it becomes the most important part of my body at that particular point in time, especially if I injure it severely. It becomes what needs the most care. And because we are a body, when one of us hurts, we all should be supporting and feeling it and helping one another. This may be one of the least things that we find in the Bible that's done. We've spent the last week in the book of Galatians talking about not quarreling, not fighting, not being contentious, not having divisions among us, but being of one mind, of one heart, having a love for one another, forgiving one another. So Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, he's been talking about the way we fulfill the law of Christ, the way we please him, because we don't keep the law anymore. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle of the law will be done away with until it is completed or fulfilled. Jesus completed it. He fulfilled it. So we don't follow it anymore. Or better said, we fulfill the law in Christ. We fulfill the law by loving one another. And here again, we fulfill the law by bearing each other's burdens. Paul has made it abundantly clear in the book of Galatians that we are not under the law. We are set free from sin and death. And what the law could not do, Christ did for us. And I just want to say it again, kind of on record. If you run into somebody in the future that tells you that you have to keep the law or a portion of it, that you have to keep the dietary parts of the law or the festival parts of the law or the new moons of the law or the Sabbaths, and there's different Sabbaths, any of the Sabbaths, these things, Colossians tells us, are shadows of things to come. And so people are obsessed with the shadows instead of the reality. Let me give you just a few verses. This is just kind of looking back over what we've studied in the book of Galatians. It's just a handful of verses to help us to understand clearly that we have been set free from the law. I also want to say, when someone tells you that you have to do something in order to be saved, that you've got to keep some sacrament, that you've got to be baptized, that you've got to speak in tongues, that you got to go to church on Saturday. When someone adds something to salvation, Jesus is good. Jesus died on the cross for you. So it's Jesus plus the law. Can't be. Jesus plus going to church on Saturday. Can't be. Jesus plus baptism. Can't be. Jesus plus anything contaminates the gospel of Jesus Christ and turns it into a completely different gospel. So in Galatians 2:16, making this statement, making it abundantly clear that we are not under the law, Paul says this, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus. And Paul says even we because he's a Pharisee. He has everything that these legalists are telling him. He goes on to say that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, for by works of the law, no flesh is justified. That is so clear. By the law or by works of the law, no flesh is justified. You can't be justified by what you do. Now, let's just think about it. We know the Bible says that, but just think about it. What can you do that is good enough for you to make it to heaven? What can you do? How can you earn it? What can you give that you can earn eternity? This is why it can't be done. And if I can earn it, then I receive a payment for what I've earned, but God's given me grace, undeserved favor, which I don't have to earn, which is eternity. But I don't think any of us are under any kind of illusions that we could do something to be saved. If salvation could come by any work, Jesus would have had you do that work instead of going to the cross. It is a gift from God. It is not of works. It is by faith, lest anyone should boast. Let me give you another one. Galatians 3:1-3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This I only want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now made perfect in the flesh? Let me give you another one. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you walk in love, it fulfills the law. Let me just give you one more. Galatians 6:13. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they might boast in your flesh. Their evangelism of the legalist was among Christians, trying to get Christians, genuine Christians, to believe in their legalism that they could boast in their flesh. Because if you can do something to be saved, then you're going to boast in it. But if you are saved by grace, then we trust in what Christ has done for us. So in our text, we learn one more way that we fulfill the law without keeping the law. That's the point he's bringing up here. He says, bear one another's burdens. This is Galatians 6:2. This is right in the middle of our text. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When I see you struggling, when you see me struggling, when we see somebody else in the church struggling, we're to come alongside of them and lift them up and support them. The exact opposite of what we just learned at the end of chapter 5. He was talking about them attacking one another, devouring one another, being contentious. The last thing we're supposed to do in the church is to hurt a part of our body. It'd be like my hand picking up a hammer, putting down my hand and smashing it. And then saying, why did you do that? We are hurting ourselves when we slander, gossip, attack, tear down, destroy the faith of other people around us. It is part of our own body. And that is why we are to bear one another's burdens. He now comes to the positive. We need to stop attacking one another. He literally says, stop biting each other because you're going to devour yourself. Because you're one body in Christ. And so when you as a Christian get hurt by another Christian and you attack that Christian, you are now attacking your body spiritually because you were baptized into that body. And so we bear one another's burdens. And by that, I'm loving, when I'm struggling and you come alongside of me to help me instead of to tear me down, when you defend me rather than jumping on what somebody says, then you lift me up. And by doing that, you are lifting yourself up in the right way, by the way, not exalting yourself, but you're taking care of your own body. And that's why we need to take care of one another, because we are one body. Now let's read our text. I want to read it first, and then I want to take time to unpack it. So Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Now the first thing that I think of when I think about this passage is a question that I get a lot. Because in the King James, verse 2 reads, bear one another's burdens. And verse 5 reads, this is the King James Version. Some of you have it in front of you. You'll know this. For each one shall bear his own burden. And so it reads, bear one another's burden, and each one shall bear his own burden. And the question is, how does that make sense? Is this contrary? Was Paul writing something contrary right away in this? The context for this passage really helps us. Now, the New King James reads, for each one shall bear his load, and in verse 2, bear his burdens. These are two different Greek words, and he's dealing with two different issues. The first Greek word is the Greek word that you would use. We're going to use a donkey as an example. This is the ancient world, so we're using a donkey. So it's you have a donkey, and you overload it. You put too much on that donkey. And then you would say, that donkey has a burden. There's a word in the Greek that would describe something that is too much. You have a truck, fellas, that's rated for a certain weight, and you fill it up with, you know, just throw concrete in the back and dirt and just any, you know, iron and lead, and you weigh it down by three times as much as the truck can take. So that when you start to drive, the shocks and the springs can't hold it. So it just literally lands on the tires and will not go anywhere. There's a word in the Greek for that burden. That's the first word for burden. So literally, verse 2, bear one another's extremely heavy, too heavy burden. That's the idea. When someone is burdened to where they can't handle it, then you come and you help them. The second word for burden in verse 5, now we use our donkey again, is to properly load the donkey. I don't know. I'm not an expert in loading donkeys, all right? But I would assume that you want to put the weight, you want to distribute it equally. You want to put the weight in a certain point, maybe higher up on its back where it can handle it, maybe more towards its shoulders, because it would seem that the shoulders would be better to take the weight. I'm spitballing here. I have no idea how to load up a donkey. I'm just saying this word is for properly loading up a donkey for travel. We go to our truck analogy. It would be you putting a certain amount of concrete. You're clearing out a concrete pad. You're breaking up and hauling it away. You put in enough to where you realize that's about the weight of the truck. I could drive forever and be okay. I'm going to take this and come back and get the rest. Even though there's more room in the truck is only rated for a certain amount of weight. You now have the proper weight there. This word would be used when you're traveling. And in their day, they would tie their bundles up to travel with them. And then they would be able to walk forever with those bundles. In our day, if you're a hiker, then you know that you have to use the backpack properly. And probably want to get, if you're going to go a long distance, you're going to probably want to get a backpack that's got a frame on it. Because you're going to be able to get the frame up on your shoulders. You're going to be able to take the weight over your body instead of a normal like school backpack that you load up and it hangs low on your back. And you end up walking up the mountain like you're kind of like, well, I don't know how far I can walk this way. If you were loaded up that way, that would be the first word for burden. But if you had it up on a proper, you know, a hiking backpack where it is up on your shoulders and over your structure of your body to carry it, that's the second one. So we, are going to have to carry our own loads. We'll talk about what that load is, but it's a load we can walk with the rest of our lives. But when we see someone struggling under a burden, then we are to respond and run over and lift that burden with them and get that burden off of them, because it is a crushing burden that they need lifted. And we all need help from time to time. All of us, every single one of us. Even those that you think are so with it and together, they don't need help at all. We all need people around us who will have compassion and help us at certain times. So what is the context then of this passage? It is bearing one another's burdens. It is someone who's overtaken in sin. And the larger context is in treating each other properly. And I've said before, I believe that the thing God cares about the most, I wonder what people care about when they're looking for a church. What are they really looking for? This is the church I'm going to go to. What we really ought to be looking for, is this a place that I'm going to be supported? Is this a place that I'm going to really find the things that God wants for me from the body? Is this body of Christ that is here a body that will support me when I need help? Or is it someone who will tear me down and trash me? And that happens in churches, and churches become what's not supposed to be. So the verse right in front of verse 1 in chapter 6, this is Galatians 5:26. Remember, the chapters were put in by somebody later on. So he goes from chapter 5, verse 26 to 6:1. So chapter 5, verse 26 says, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." The introduction to that section on the flesh and the spirit is Galatians 5:15. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So the whole flesh, the deeds of the flesh and fruits of the spirit, is for us to interact with each other properly. If I am being driven by my flesh, then I am contentious. I have outbursts of wrath. I am divisive. I am malicious. I want to hurt people. And that happens within the church. But if we are walking by the Spirit, then there is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And now we become the church that Christ wants us to be. And we can nourish our own body. We can nourish one another so that you are healthy and strong in Christ. And when we love each other, the world knows that we are His disciples. So let's break down our passage. He starts off by saying, "Brethren," and so this man overtaken in a trespass is first of all a brother. This is not a non-believer. It's amazing how often when you look at a passage like this that is taught, the kind of things that people say. I've literally sat in a teaching in a church that was a Reformed church, and I had a feeling that every sermon they did was about Reformed theology. There's a certain theologies, a certain things that a church is into, that they can manipulate every passage to say what they want it to say. And so they said, "This person is not saved." That's the first thing they start off. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in trespass," they said, "that person's not saved." And I'm like, what? It's all about the family of God. It's all about the body of Christ. It's about us bearing each other. It says it there in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. So we're going to this guy to help him so we can bear one another's burdens. He is definitely, most definitely saved. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass." And look at the way that this is said. Now, we know that the word trespass means sin. We know that it's connected to sin. Trespass, sin is when you know something is wrong and there's something inherently wrong in it. Trespass is when you are trespassing. There might not be anything inherently wrong in it, but you're trespassing. So it says, if a man is overtaken, this word could literally be translated slip. Have you ever heard anybody criticize making the statement, "I fell into sin"? And people say, "Well, you can't just fall into sin." Here's the truth. We sin every day without knowing it. We want to walk with Christ and we make a decision. Sometimes we'll make a decision to do what we know is right to do, and we'll end up going through our day and we'll trespass. We'll just cross the line without even thinking about it and then realize I crossed the line. So the idea is that this person is trapped by it. He is overtaken by sin. Sin has grabbed him and put him into chains, and he is bound by it. It is sin has placed a heavy burden on him. The Bible tells us that sin is destructive and brings about death. Jesus saw sin this way. Others saw sin, unfortunately, the way that a lot of people see sin today in the church. They see someone that's wrapped up in sin or an addiction, some kind of a problem, and they look down on them and say, I'm glad I'm not like them. Does that remind you of anybody? How about Simon the Pharisee that had Jesus over to his house? And a prostitute wandered in, fell at the feet of Jesus, wept at his feet. Think about it. She's overwhelmed with the burden of sin. Jesus sees her trapped, and he sees her remorse, and he sees her guilt, and everyone else is looking at her and judging her for what she's done. But Jesus says to Simon, Simon, I've got a question for you. If someone is forgiven much, will they love much? And if they're forgiven little, will they love little? And he said, well, if they're forgiven much, they love much. And he said, and you're right. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven you. And he forgave her. He saw her as one trapped in that sin. When we see someone trapped in a sinful lifestyle, maybe it's very visible sinful lifestyle, even apart from Christ. They are sinners who have been trapped by sin. Sin is incredibly powerful. It is so powerful that even after we have been forgiven, even after we have been set free from it, we still fall into it. If anybody says, I have no sin, the Bible says they're a liar. So imagine being out in the world, and we can imagine because we've been there, and facing sin, which is destructive by nature and which deceives us. And people get deceived and they get trapped. So this man, this woman in the church is overtaken, they're ensnared, they're trapped by sin. And the idea is that sin has had its destructive qualities revealed in them. They're under the burden of it. Maybe they feel guilty. Maybe they feel ashamed. Maybe they don't know what to do to get out of it. Maybe it's lended itself to an addiction. And I just want you to know that I want our church to be a place where you can get help. One of the things that's happening to people today is an addiction. And they say that marijuana isn't a physical addiction, but it certainly can be a mental addiction. If there's something that you are struggling with, let us help you in what you're struggling with. Let us come alongside of you and give you help.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.